Hello and welcome to another episode of Sanparks Podcast. My name is Phukela Lebeya. National parks are supposed to be the pride and joy of all South Africans, but to do so they must be accessible to all people regardless of their physical and sensory abilities. For the last few years, some of the dedicated Sanparks honorary rangers from the Pretoria region have been adopting schools for learners with disabilities and taken a handful of lucky learners on trips to Kruger National Park to give them an experience of a lifetime. Let's join my colleague Chris Patton in Kruger as he interviews some of the honorary rangers, educators, learners involved in this year's project.
I'm sitting here today with an old friend of mine, Lee Smith, who is one of our Sanparks honorary rangers from the Pretoria region. Welcome, Elise.
Hi, Chris. Nice to be here.
Tell us a bit about what the Universal Access Project of the Honorary Rangers Pretoria region is all about.
Chris, a few years ago we drove back from Kruger Park. We had a very nice, successful event that we hosted for sponsors. And there was a potential sponsor who is physically disabled. And the question was asked whether if we should be able to, whether we would be able to take him to the park on an event like that. And the question was raised, and we amongst ourselves as honorary rangers started talking about how accessible the park is. We asked the question because at that time we didn't know. So this whole initiative developed into the Universal Access Project, where we decided to create awareness about the accessibility of the park and the fact that it is actually accessible for all people. And we decided to host an universal access event annually for people with special needs. So that answers your question.
I think you've given a broad initiative. What were some of the steps when the project was evolving?
We really didn't have any idea of where to start and where to go, and we were actually referred to you as being responsible and being involved in access to the park. And I remember the day in your office when we sat talking there and we brainstormed a few mm-hmm. ideas. At that time, I think in my mind, we had adults in mind.
Yeah.
As I say, the specific person who was physically challenged.
Well, maybe I should interrupt you here, at least just to let listeners know who don't know me or haven't come across some of the recordings before that I've been involved in. I work for South African National Parks, and I've been working for them for about 20 years. But I'm also a paraplegic. When I was a university student, I fell off Table Mountain, which of course is one of our national parks, and I broke my back and have been dependent on a wheelchair since that time, and that was probably about, it was in 1990, so that was 37 years ago, long time ago. So I'm pretty used to and comfortable spending my life in a wheelchair, but over the years I've been heavily involved with disability tourism, and I'm just working out that 1990 to 2017 is 27 years, not 37 years. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to have to edit that little bit out or re-record it. I've lost my place. How many years have Pretoria Honorary Rangers been doing this initiative?
Yeah, the initiative started 5 years ago with that interview and discussion in your office, and we started hosting this 4 years ago. The first year we had children on the program who are blind. The second year we had deaf children. Last year we hosted the program for hard of hearing kids, and this year we have the children from New Hope School mm-hmm. with us. So it's been running for 4 years, but the initiative started 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
The planning took quite a bit of time to conceptualize and decide what we wanted to do and to get all the different role players on board. We need quite a number of people involved to make this project work.
And of course you, because you're part of the Pretoria Army Rangers, that's where you live, you've been focusing on schools for learners with disabilities in the Pretoria region.
Right.
But the project has been so successful that there's no reason why other Honorary Ranger regions and other parks all throughout the country cannot replicate what you've been doing. But what are some of the challenges you've encountered in introducing learners with disabilities to Kruger?
I would just like to respond to what you're saying. We often say that this project can be cut and paste to any park. And so, yes, we would like to see it growing and getting bigger and get more people involved. Some of the challenges, I remember the very first year with the blind children, it was quite intimidating for us to bring children to the park and to interpret nature to them in a way that it made it accessible for them. So we started with this whole initiative of getting used to make the visible audible. And I remember that you had a huge contribution in that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned such a lot from you because you had previous experience with blind people in the park. I was in the end amazed how easy it was for these children to get along, find their way, the concepts they already have had in their mind. So, and we followed a specific system. When we, for instance, had a sighting to start describing to them exactly where the object is, how big it is, the color. So you break it down in smaller bits to make it known for them.
Mm.
One of the other challenges is with the deaf children because we are not trained or equipped to do sign language. So the communication with the children was quite a challenge. We had some of the teachers present and they could sign, but if they are not around, it was very difficult to communicate. But in the end, we got along, and so it was all of these events were extremely rewarding and
successful. I think I'd just like to sort of build on what you were saying about describing things to visually impaired people. It's a misconception that because a person is blind, that they don't want to know about the color of things in the environment, because if they can't see, then will they have any conception of color? But they do, and it may not necessarily be the same colors that sighted people will see, but still they have mental images of color, and to them color and direction and orientation are very important for them to be able to build a mental image. So it's a process known as audio describing to convey the surrounding environment so that people who are without sight are able to get that mental picture to be able to enjoy the experience of the park.
And to use the other senses. I mean, we had one of the learners on that group were able to identify trees by merely touching leaves and bark, and what an amazing experience that was, to be exposed to this child who was so knowledgeable and passionate about trees.
And they were sort of feeling through the world of their fingers.
Absolutely.
Seeing through that. And this year, hosting a school that focuses heavily on physical disability and cerebral palsy. Has that been very different to the sensory impairment that you've hosted in previous years, or has
it? We changed the program a bit this year because we realized that this specific group might find it challenging to walk long distances, where in the past we would spend time in Skukuza itself, walking around, doing a Skukuza walk and showing them the birds and the trees and everything that you can learn from within Skukuza. We did not include that in the program, And then we had this wonderful opportunity to visit the canine unit, which you were very hooked about.
Mm-hmm.
Which was...
Well, we touched on it, not in too much detail. I was going to ask Norman about that a little later. When I get a chance to interview him.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, so you can go on to the next one.
Okay, I mean, I think one thing that we haven't touched on, but which is crucially important, is how critical is sponsorship to be able to activate and host a project of this nature?
It's not only the sponsorship that I would like to respond to that, but there are different role players who need to get on board. Firstly, obviously, the Henri Rangers is hosting. Then Sandbox itself. We had tremendous support from Sandbox. And then you meet your partner that you're working with, whether it's the physically disabled or the visually impaired, or, and then the fourth very important partner is your sponsors, because we carry all the costs of this event through sponsorship. So it's, for us, it's crucially important to secure sponsorships. And I must say, from the very beginning, we were always in a position to be successful in getting people involved. I think that people would like to make a difference. If I think back, the first year, there were three businesses from Witbank.
I'm sitting now with Mr. Darby Haramsa, the principal of New Hope School from Pretoria, and I'm just going to ask him some questions about his school, his learners, and the hopes and experiences they have had in coming to the park as the guests of the Pretoria region of Sandparks Honorary Rangers. Welcome, Darby. Tell us a bit more about New Hope School, about your learners, and about the focus areas of your school.
Thank you, Chris. It is, as always, a privilege for me to share some information about our school. Our school is about one of 12 schools catering for cerebral palsy, physically disabled, and specific learning disabled learners over the country. We have about 420 special schools, of which about 120 are situated in Gauteng only. And we are from the Pretoria region, with the main focus areas of cerebral palsy, physically disabled, as I've indicated, and also specific learning disabilities, but with the unique focus of offering free learning programs to our learners, of which the mainstream curriculum is the most important, and then also two adapted learning programs for our learners with a more practical and skills-orientated focus. So it is indeed a special environment and a challenge for us as educators to be in. And we have experienced so many blessed moments over the years, and for us to be part of this unique project is indeed a privilege as well.
Fantastic. Now, it sounds that you put the focus on the children and making sure that they, when they leave the school, are able to interact with the bigger world out there, and I think that's a real credit to you as a school. But moving now to your experience in Kruger, what were your expectations in coming down to the park with your children, and what were you most looking forward to?
Chris, when we heard about the project, we immediately thought about it as an opportunity for our learners to go out and to experience more about life. As you know, learners with disabilities often found themselves, and maybe they prefer not to change very easily, not to go into new environments and new experiences. They rather would stay at home, rather would stay at the school hostel or in the school in their safe environment. And this is just another opportunity to give them, the challenge or the opportunities to make sure that they can adapt to new circumstances as well.
I mean, what you're saying there is critically important. I know being involved with disability tourism for many years, is people with disabilities are often very reluctant travellers.
Absolutely.
going to an unfamiliar environment where they're not sure that the facilities they will encounter will be suitable for their needs, they'd rather not take that risk. So one of the challenges that national parks have is to let the public know, specifically the public with disabilities, know that all the national parks, and Kruger in particular, offer opportunities that are accessible, whether they're physically disabled or they've got sensory or cognitive disabilities. So I think this whole initiative is very important for Sand Parks to embrace, to show how easy and comfortable it can be for people with disabilities to come and experience the parks. But were you worried about anything, or was it all looking forward to great expectations?
Chris, it is quite a challenge if you take up opportunities like this, because you need to prepare the learners to be ready emotionally, physically, and to plan properly for what is going to happen, as far as you can estimate the future. But the learners themselves surprises one always, because they mostly respond very, very positively to new challenges, although it puts some emotional stress on them as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you and I can see how many children there are outside, but just for the listeners, how many children from your school have come with us on this trip, and how many children do you have at your school in total?
Yeah. Very interesting, although we only have about 420 learners at the school, we are catering for learners from the age of 3 years up to 21 years of age, making provision for the three different learning programs, as I've indicated. We have on tour about 14 learners, with the four educators accompanying them. One of the challenges that we are experiencing is that there's such a big request of placement of learners at the school, and we have a lot of learners waiting to be accommodated or admitted at our school, and we are offering also boarding facilities for about 13 learners of the school living outside Pretoria and even outside Gauteng.
And for you as the principal, what has been the most rewarding features of your trip so far?
It is always a wonderful experience to visit Kruger National Park, and to have the opportunity to be part of a group of learners and educators makes it even much more excited. We immediately realized that if we are going to be part of this project, we as educators are privileged to accompany the group of learners to get more exposure into an environment where we normally don't have the opportunity to be part of. And we were very, very excited, and up to now where we are sitting here, having the opportunity to stay here for a day or two already, what we have experienced is just awesome, marvelous, very excited, and especially the support that we were receiving from our host, the friends and the sponsors, and all the staff of Sun Parks, and especially under the leadership and guidance of the officials making this possible. It is just a blessing.
Just wonderful. No, that's fantastic. And look, I'll go into more detail about some of the stuff that you've been doing with the children, with some of the honorary rangers. But just to outline that, you've been taken to the park's canine unit, where they keep and train their service dogs that help with the anti-poaching efforts of the park. You've been to the Game Boma to see a whole lot of rhinoceroses that are kept in the Bomas for various reasons, and that's a wonderful experience for the children to see these impressive animals up close at close quarters. And you've been on several drives, and you've seen some really exciting game. But yeah, it's been a privilege for me interacting with you, and I know it's not over yet, so I hope there's still some more surprises and treats that you have in store. And yes, I look forward to sharing the rest of the trip with you. Thank you,
Chris. Maybe can I just say another thing, and that's the fact about the whole purpose of the visit in an environment like this is normally our disabled learners. They are so focused on their own situation. And when they have the opportunity to move, especially into an environment which is new to them and where animals are involved, then the focus moves from themselves to the animals. And that means a lot to them. We have a program at the school where we are making use of horses and horse therapy, mm-hmm. Especially for our physically and emotionally stressed learners. And we experience more or less the same. They relate very positively to the animals, and that impact means a lot to them.
No, that's wonderful. I mean, you've hit on something very important, the healing power of nature.
Absolutely.
Or nature therapy, and it's something that maybe hasn't been explored to such depth in South Africa, but there's been a lot of research in it around the world, and it's the healing power of nature and allowing people to just unwind and draw on their experiences with the natural environment is a very powerful thing indeed.
Absolutely well said. Thank you, Chris.
I'm sitting now with Mr. Norman Locke, who is one of the honorary rangers from the Pretoria region, who's been involved with this project for 3 of the 4 years that it's been happening, and has loads of experience in taking children on game drives and to special locations here in Kruger. Hello, Norman.
Good afternoon, Chris. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, tell us about some of the things you've been doing with the learners this year.
Chris, the learners arrived here at the youth hostel in Skukuza on Thursday afternoon after leaving Pretoria Thursday morning. They arrived through Malalaan Gate, and on arrival they paid a visit to the Rhino Hall in Bergendal, where they were escorted around the museum and learnt more about the rhinos of the Kruger Park. On completion of the Rhino Hall tour they drove up to Skukuza, where we welcomed them, provided them with welcome packs, made them feel welcome, and showed them around the youth hostel. The evening was spent enjoying a meal, getting to know each other, and of course that excellent presentation you did on the Kruger National Park.
Mm-hmm.
The following morning, we paid a visit to the Kruger National Park's Canine Centre, which is close to Pabeni Gate, and this was an excursion that I'd arranged through Johan de Beer, who's the manager of the canine unit, and Mandy Malone, who's an honorary ranger from the Lowveld region and who's actively involved in the canine unit as well. And they agreed to have us there and to have the children, and it's something that I'm passionate about, the anti-poaching in the Kruger National Park. I myself have done the training course at the canine unit to be able to do duties there, so it was really something I wanted the children to see. We left Skukuza, took a nice game drive to the canine center, and the children really got actively involved and interacted so with the dogs that were there.
What breeds of dogs did they have?
They had Belgian Malinois, they had some Labradors, some Foxhounds, and of course the beautiful Bloodhounds.
Wow.
We introduced the children to the dogs and pointed out the different breeds of the dogs, but what I wanted to do was show them what we would as honorary rangers do when we do duty at the canine center. So we requested that the staff at the canine center leave one of the kennels uncleaned until we got there, and then the children actively got involved in cleaning the kennels. It's a standard operating procedure that you follow by first of all removing any feces that the dogs may have left overnight. So we cleaned up that. We sprayed the kennels out. Then we scrubbed them with a disinfectant and a soap, rinsed it again, and let the kennels dry. We one by one then went into the runs. By this time the dogs were in the runs, and the children went into the runs with brushes and groomed the dogs. And I don't know who had a better experience, the children or the dogs, because the dogs were absolutely fantastic about the way they received the children.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the children scared of the dogs?
There were a few of the children that were a bit apprehensive. They hadn't had previous experience, they don't have dogs of their own, but we made the children as relaxed as possible, and those that felt they didn't want to go into the runs to interact with the dogs eventually did come in, and they had a wonderful time.
Mm, that sounds like a real privilege, a real treat for them.
Yes, it absolutely was, and it gave us as Honorary Rangers great satisfaction to see the joy that these children experienced on their visit to the Canine Centre. After our visit, we had a picnic lunch at the Canine Centre, which went down really well, and then we paid a visit to the nearby Albertini Ruins, close to the Benny Gate, and spoke a bit about the history of the area, and João Albertini himself, before driving back to Sucuza, where we let the kids then have some leisure time, you know, go to the shops and do whatever they had to do before going on a late afternoon drive, which was very successful. Some lovely lionesses with cubs, elephants, and the kids really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and that's such a wonderful backdrop to visit like this, to be able to rely on the wildlife of the park to enhance the experience.
Absolutely.
And what did you do with them today?
This morning we started before dawn. We were at the gate of Sucuza Rest Camp for gate opening time. The children were very eager to get out into the bush again and see what was on offer today. And yep, we went out. Beautiful sunrise. Got another three lionesses this morning in the Sand River. Just after that, on the H12, just before the high water bridge, an absolute magnificent male leopard. It was just such a wonderful experience to see the joy and the excitement on these children's faces, just to see these magnificent animals. This was a great day for hyenas. We had a great number of hyena sightings this morning, amongst the general game, of course, the giraffe, the zebra, the wildebeest, and of course the ever-present beautiful impala. The children have expressed and shown great interest in birds. So I've made an effort to point out the great birding opportunities that are here in Kruger, and they're really enjoying it. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
They got back to camp. We gave them a nice hearty breakfast, and after breakfast they were once again very privileged. They went to visit the holding bomas here at Sucuza, and presently there are 15 rhino there. These, of course, are orphaned rhino that have come in from the bush and have been taken care of at the holding bomas. A very educational and informative visit as well. And thanks to all the staff involved at the holding bomas for allowing us in.
No, that's wonderful, that thing. And tonight's their last night. I believe they're going out on a sunset drive tonight. So we'll get to experience a bit of the park after at closing time, and hopefully see some of the nocturnal animals. That'll be wonderful. And then tonight I believe they're going to give little presentations or mini plays to reflect on their experiences here in the park. That'll be something really special to behold.
Absolutely correct. We are going up in the open vehicle for Sand Park tonight, which the children have been asking about since they got here. They see all the open safari vehicles, and they've been wanting to know when they're going on one. And we've kept it until their last drive with us, so they're really excited about it. Yes, and as you say, let's hope we get some of the nocturnal animals, as you mentioned in your presentation, when the children arrived, creatures after dark, your genets, your civets, etc. Let's hope we can see some of those. Yes, and when we get back, we have a nice dinner arranged for the children, and then we have requests that they put something together just to show us what they've experienced and what they have got out of this weekend. And I think they're looking forward to doing that as well. And then we end off with a little quiz, and which we've done on the three previous trips I've done with the Universal Access Project, and that's great excitement. And of course, there's a prize for the team that wins, but each and every learner will get a prize. So yeah, I feel that I've had a wonderful experience by visiting the Kruger National Park. And we as honorary rangers, we are privileged to be able to bring, children who hadn't had the opportunity previously of visiting the Kruger Park. And I know they're going to go back and tell all their fellow learners what the wonderful experience they have and spread the word of conservation, the need for conservation. So yeah, it's a wonderful project, and I look forward to being part of it for many more years to come.
Now that's what it's all about. Thank you, Norman, for being so comprehensive in your description of what you've done, and hopefully the listeners will enjoy it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with some of the children who, at the end of their marvelous weekend here in Kruger National Park, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves and then tell us about their favorite sightings over the weekend. What's your name?
Kayla, and I like giraffes.
Giraffes, well, they're your favorite. Why did you like the giraffes?
Because they are very cute and soft.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't make a lot of noise.
Nope.
They're very quiet, yes.
Yep.
Cool, and what's your name?
Hi guys, my name is Poku, and my favorite animals, I've got quite a few, but I'll pick two, if it's okay with you.
That's okay, you can pick more.
My favorite animals were elephants and a giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
And
you like the big ones?
Yes.
Cool.
Elephant because I think it's because I grew up loving elephants and how they walk and eat, seeing them eating the leaves and all of that. And the giraffe, I love them because they're nice and tall. They can reach up for everything and bend down for anything. And they're nice and calm, and they're friendly. And I love the way they used to do the nice poses for us. And my favorite sight of all time, which I really enjoyed, was today at the game resort, looking at all different kinds of animals.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's special. Okay. Who's next? Tell me your name and speak into the machine.
My name is Anna Marie Jacobs. I'm 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. And what's your favorite animal that you saw here in Kruger?
My favorite animal was a lion.
A lion?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And you saw the lion with some cubs, didn't you?
Yeah. And I saw rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
I went near the rhinos. Near him.
Oh, that's wonderful. What about you? What's your name?
My name is Tumi, and my friend name is Apiri, and I like cheetahs and monkeys and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But did you see a cheetah today?
Yes.
Did you? Wow. That's special. What about you, Reniac? Come forward.
My name is Ruben Fenter. I really love to see that wild dog.
Oh, yes, that's a very special sighting. Very lucky. And what were the wild dogs doing?
They were hunting.
They were hunting, so they were on the run.
Yes.
What were they hunting?
I don't know.
You don't know? You didn't see? Probably impala.
Probably.
Because they call impala the McDonald's of the bushveld. You know why?
Because it has an M.
It's got an M on its bum that looks like the McDonald's sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, I'm here with some more of the children, and we'll start with you on the left. What's your name?
KG. What my full name?
If you want to tell us your full name.
No, I'm cool with KG.
You're cool with KG?
Yes. My favorite sightings were mostly the giraffes, but I love the rhinos too.
That's wonderful. Mm. And were those the rhinos you saw out in the park or the ones
the
that were
ones
in the Bowman?
Both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was special.
They were special.
My name is Lemo. My favorite sighting was the cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mpo.
Hey, Mpo. What was your favorite?
The giraffe.
Yeah. Everyone likes the giraffe. I think that's because they're so calm and gentle.
And they pose nicely for the camera.
Yeah. No, they're great.
They are very great.
Wonderful. Cool. Thanks, guys. What's your name?
My name is Anthony Yamnek.
Anthony, what has been your best sighting when you've been here in Kruger? What was your favorite animal?
The lion and the rhino.
And the rhino. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. Happy with that. Come tell the microphone what your name is and what your favorite animal sighting was here in Kruger Park. Talk into the microphone.
Okay. My name is Zoleka Mayenjani.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite sight of the Kruger National Park, I must say, it was the rhinos that we could, associate with them.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones in the Boma when you went to the game capture Boma.
Yes, and the other favorite was the sea giraffe.
The giraffe.
Nice and calm.
Yes, everyone's saying that. That's cool.
It was a lovely.
So you guys, we've just had a wildlife quiz, and you were the winning team. What was the name of your team?
No name brand.
And who is in No Name Brand?
Omalema.
Anna Marie.
Du.
Fernando.
Fernando. You four won the wildlife quiz. You were able to identify the most animal pictures that had been blocked out and got the most points against the three other teams. Congratulations, guys. And what did you win for your efforts?
Power bank and a booklet.
A booklet on nature. What's your booklet all about? Mammals. Mm-hmm. And what were your booklets?
I'm not sure. Good day. Yeah.
You put it away already.
That's a book of planets.
Of planets. Wow.
Flowers.
On flowers. Fantastic. That's great, guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm sure listeners were able to hear the excitement and joy in the children's voices and get an idea of what an impactful and rewarding a project of this nature really is. In summation, let's hear again from Elise Smith, who can just tell us some of the costs and other logistical factors there are in putting these trips together. Elise, over to you.
Chris, a project of this nature can only be successfully presented and pulled together in partnership with role players. That is Sandparks Honorary Rangers, different permanent staff from Sandparks, the school, and then obviously our sponsors. This is a fully sponsored project and can only be presented through goodwill of the public out there. Over the years, we were fortunate to have sponsors from the corporate sector, from small businesses, and from individuals, supporting us with money and with in-kind donations. So I would like to express my gratitude to all role players who made our Universal Access project possible. And we sincerely hope to continue to run it for many more years and hope that other regions will start to emulate us.